Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is April 9th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So I'm going to take you guys with me on a little coffee chat this morning. It is Easter, so happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day to all of you out there. Hopefully you're having a wonderful day, enjoying yourselves, hopefully enjoying your family and not having them drive you too crazy. That's obviously something that we have to deal with around the holidays, but I do believe that things are starting to shift and change in that regard as well, even though my family, as I've shared many times, is in no way, shape, or form awake, or at least on the surface, even appearing to start to awaken. But I've talked about this in the past, and I've noticed that there seems to be less of a sense of confidence, a less of the, I guess you could even say, an arrogance that I've noticed in the past about my family and basically everybody who doesn't agree with me politically and thinks that I'm just a total nut. They have all the answers. There's a certain level of arrogance that comes from the mainstream media programming, because that's, of course, how they listen to these talking heads and these pundits refer to all of us over and over and over, day after day, night after night, week after week, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, sooner or later, that programming kind of takes hold in people. And that's how they start to treat you. That's how they express themselves. And I've noticed that there's been a definite shift ever since the election was stolen back in 2020. It's been a gradual paradigm movement, I guess you could say, in the right direction, where people aren't as confident, they're not as boastful, they're not as cocky and arrogant as they used to be. And I think for good reason, because when you look at the world and what Biden, fake Biden, has done to it, and basically, you analyze his presidency, what can you really say that's positive? What is there really to brag about? I mean, you've got the mainstream media out there continuing to gaslight people, but I think as time has gone on, the MSM has really started to play defense more than they've typically, what they typically do is just constantly have their foot on the accelerator going on the offense against all of us. And I do believe that somewhere in the consciousness, perhaps the subconscious, at the subconscious level, that is being conveyed to all the listeners on MSM. And that's, of course, why the amount of listeners continues to drop and plummet with every passing day. It really is exciting to see. And we watch that play out in our own lives. And I've said many times that I think that the real barometer of awakening is going to be when people start, at least for me personally, in my own life, start coming up to me and saying, hey, excuse me, just taking a sip of coffee there. And they say, hey, I think that you might have been right about the election. Or, hey, I think that something's not right about this whole COVID-19 shot, or something's not right with the narratives that we're being given. They probably wouldn't even use that word, but you know, the information that we're being given doesn't seem to be accurate. And a lot of the things that you've talked about in the past have come to pass. So can we maybe revisit some of those conversations? I mean, obviously this is my sort of pipe dream, but, I don't see that happening. Well, I don't know. I mean, it could happen sometime soon. It really all depends upon how fast the chess match accelerates from this point on. I mean, right now we're kind of set in this understanding, this pattern that it's going to take a lot longer. It obviously has taken a lot longer than any one of us anticipated, but that could all change in a moment. And that moment could come at any time. And I do believe that once it does, we're going to have these types of reactions from people where they're going to want to get more information from us. The same people that they ridiculed and they mocked and on and on and on, when they start to fully wrap their brain around the fact that everything they've been told is a lie, I think they're going to come to us and they're going to want to have these types of conversations. The difficult part, as I've always said, though, is that it's very relatively easy to con someone if you're thinking about the whole population, you know, society at large, with the mainstream media and all of their slick gaslighting and all of their funding and all of their deceptive tricks that are, of course, not just simply tricks. They're all scientifically based. But from their perspective, it's relatively easy to fool the population. This is what they've done. They've been able to con most of society. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's relatively easy to con someone, but good luck trying to get them to admit and acknowledge that they've been conned, that they've been lied to, that they were the ones who were hoodwinked. You see, that's the whole problem that we're up against, is that so much of the population has been effectively convinced that we are just crazy, and that everything that we've said is an outright lie and has no basis in reality. But as time has gone on, and more of what the mainstream media says turns out to be false, and more of what we say and have said to all of our friends and neighbors and loved ones turns out to be true, there comes a point where people do get launched into that cognitive dissonance space, if you will, where they're kind of on the fence. They have to decide. And that's where I think it's a function of free will. They have to decide whether or not they're going to listen to that internal voice, which is their intuition, which is their, you know, their third eye trying to open, God in their heart prompting them along to say, hey, continue to go down that path. Or they're just going to allow the fear and the fear-based programming associated with MKUltra to really get the best of them. And they're just going to continue to double down, triple down, quadruple down. And I think that most people pretty much fall into that category, because that's the safer path in terms of, you know, the programming. That's what the programming tells them to do. And to defy that, to take that red pill, that takes a lot of courage, you know, and that's something that we don't typically talk about. I mean, I've talked about it in the past, but certainly the fact that we all had the courage to take that red pill is something I think in and of itself to celebrate. And I think that's a big part of the reason why we received this blessing of awakening, is because we, as a function of our free will, we decided that we were going to continue down this path. We were going to see where it led. And we were willing to make the sacrifices that we've had to make along the way in order to move closer to the truth. But obviously, a vast majority of the population doesn't fall into that category. But that being said, with everything that's happening right now, folks, that really is starting to change. And I do think that the more time goes on, the more the narrative of the mainstream media gets picked apart. And that's happening, as we all know, at an accelerated pace. You might even say, or I don't think we're really at a breakneck pace yet. We haven't hit the flood phase, but we're certainly getting close. With all of these investigations that are going on, with all of the communications that Trump and the White Hats are sending us. Now, certainly to us, these comms have become relatively easy to decode. And certainly we have great patriots and anons out there who have made it their mission to decode all of this information and to take all of the comms that are put out there by the White Hats and to make them relatively easy for all of us to understand and to see them. And at this point, we've had so much practice doing that, that, you know, we're almost accustomed to communicating that way, or learning how to communicate that way. Like you said, you know, learn our comms. And that's exactly what all of us have done. But again, the rest of the population is still quite a bit removed from that. And there I think there's a level of fear that could go either way in people. See, fear is, a lot of people, when you talk about the whole concept of fear, they just simply say, well, you know, if you're afraid, that means you're lacking faith, and, you know, faith and fear are opposites. And I do think that that's true to a large extent, but I would also suggest that being afraid is part of the human experience. It's something that's in large part out of our control. It's something that is a natural response to much of what we encounter in life, much of what we experience in life. It's not something that we can just simply shut off, like our breathing. I mean, it's just a natural part of our human experience. But fear itself can actually be a very positive tool when it's confronted with free will and the two kind of intersect, it can be a really, really positive motivator to move in the right direction. And that's why it's not simply just a matter of faith and fear. It's a matter of free will. Because again, even with faith, faith without works is dead, as they say. I mean, you can believe all day long, but unless you actually take certain action steps in the right direction, you're not going to see that faith really manifesting in your life and carrying you in the right direction. See, I think it happens to be a combination of those two things. And I think that when you look at where we are right now, you look at the world, you look at your loved ones, you look at society as a whole, you definitely can sense that, yes, there's still an enormous amount of brainwashing. There's a lot of people out there who are still trapped in this paradigm. But like I was alluding to before, the nature of it and the tenor of it is quite different than it used to be. And I think people are now starting to realize that, yes, we are not moving in the right direction. I mean, pretty much by any barometer. I mean, if you look at everything that's happening on the surface, we're on the cusp of World War III. They're talking about nuclear weapons and nuclear escalation. We've got a banking crisis that is really just getting started at this point. In fact, well, I shouldn't say in fact, but I happen to very strongly believe, based upon my research, that this crisis, in essence, already occurred. And what we're watching unfold, just like in so many other categories, are things that have already come to pass, and that this is a pantomime version, a controlled version by the White Hats, a scripted out movie. And, you know, even though there's always a part of me that cringes a little bit when I use that term, because it can suggest that it can be misinterpreted in so many different ways. But I think that the core of my audience understands what I'm saying here, is that what we're living through right now has already happened in terms of all of the major events, and that this is really a play that's been put together, not just on the fly. Obviously, this is something that has been in the making for years and years and years, decades, that have led us up into this point. And so I think that, you know, getting back to the whole concept of society and where we are right now, I think that a lot of people are starting to recognize that we are moving in the wrong direction, that despite whatever reservations and even hatred they had of Donald Trump, it's really difficult to deny that when he was president, optically, we all know that he is the president, but when he was the actual president in office and before this whole continuity of government devolution scenario really started after the election was stolen, that things were better. I mean, people were better off financially. People were finding jobs. Unemployment was low. It's the lowest that it had been historically. I mean, Trump did absolutely amazing things. And the entire time that he was in office, he was just attacked incessantly by the mainstream media, to the point where there was almost like this involuntary response that they ingrained inside of everyone to just hate Trump and to focus on everything that they were saying that he was doing wrong and supposedly committing all of these crimes and going to start all of these wars. I mean, everything that they said about Trump and that Trump was going to do, they actually ended up doing. They said that Trump was going to be a hothead. He was going to get us involved in a nuclear war, that he was going to start invading countries, that he didn't have the right temperament. I mean, you remember all the stuff that they were saying about him. Meanwhile, he was doing just absolutely incredible things for all Americans. And so I think that people are looking back now, whether they're talking about it openly or not. I think probably in most cases, they're not talking about it openly. But I do believe that people are looking back and they're assessing where we are right now in comparison to where we were when Trump was in office. And at the same time, they're also seeing all of these ridiculous charges being brought against Trump. I mean, the fact that regardless of what you think of the man, how about having a little bit of respect for the office and a little bit of respect for the fact that he is being overtly politically persecuted, that this is a witch hunt. It is absolutely undeniable at this point. And do I think that this is starting to really penetrate the psyche and the consciousness of your average person? I do. I absolutely do. Because as circumstances continue to get worse and worse and worse, and they can't blame Trump for what's going on. They literally can't. I mean, you see the mainstream media. I mean, I don't really watch it typically, but I haven't seen a whole lot of evidence that they are trying to pin everything that's going on in the world right now on Trump. How could you? There really is, you know, there's no way to do that. And obviously, when you look at Biden's, fake Biden's policies and all the things that he's done, have led us directly into this situation. And there are people out there who are really scared about where we're headed right now. And that's the entire point. That's always been the entire point of this whole pantomime, is to put people through a simulation of what the enemy had planned for us. And as things get progressively worse, more and more people are going to wake up. More and more people are going to finally see the writing on the wall. And they're going to recognize that it was never Trump and all of us who were lying, but that in fact it was the very individuals, the very organizations, the very ideology that they chose to support, thinking that they were doing the right thing. And this is a slow burn process. I mean, we all know this is not something that just simply happens overnight. It's something that takes a lot of time. And that part of it has been frustrating for all of us. I mean, there's just no question. So if you take all of that into consideration, and then you analyze RFK's announcement that he's going to run for president, I think it makes a lot of sense that he's been inserted at this specific moment, because now the time is right. The soil is actually ripe. And it's that moment that we're in right now where people on the left are desperately looking. They're not ready to just jump on board with everything that we're talking about. They're certainly not ready to become, a lot of these people, to become Trump supporters or to consider themselves Republicans. But I do think that there is a genuine desire on the left to move in a different direction. And whether or not people are talking about it openly, I think that there is a realization that this radical direction of wokeism and being obsessed with genders and pronouns, and really just, I think it all started, this whole mind trip on the left started when they got everyone obsessed with people's feelings. I mean, I remember growing up, if you were offended by something, if something was bothering you, it was kind of like a personal thing. You get offended by things and people just sort of understood that, yeah, I mean, that's going to happen from time to time, but that doesn't mean that we just completely radically change our society. And then at a certain point, the left was, and really it was the cabal, but specifically on the liberal side, quote unquote liberal, they started to really appeal to people's emotions. And they started to make everybody's feelings the most important thing. And when that happened, I think that that was really the slippery slope. When we look back in history, and certainly we're going to be looking back for thousands of years at basically everything that we've lived through in our entire lives, especially these past 7 or 8 years, we're going to examine, you know, how exactly did we get to the point where we are and had to dig ourselves out? How exactly did that happen? And we've talked a lot about the MKUltra programming, or at least I have. I know a lot of people out there have. But it's, and the fear-based element of it. But there's also, right alongside of that, is this appealing to the emotionality of everyone and having that override their ability to think logically and rationally. And what they've done, what the enemy has done, is basically turned rational logic into a thought crime, into a hate crime, into terrorism. I mean, they've actually gone that far to the point where you literally are not allowed to have any kind of opposing opinion to the establishment. And that is something that even most people on the left, I mean, there are the hardcore authoritarians, the nut jobs. We know who they are. But I think a vast majority of the people who supported these folks, they did so because they were driven by emotion and they were convinced that this was the way to bring the country together. This was the way to heal the country, is to basically wage war against racism and wage war against, misogyny and the whole paternal structure of our society, so that they could degrade men and they could rip men and women apart and drive divisions, make more and more divisions, and exacerbate the ones that already existed that are just natural. And I think that a lot of people out there, they went along with this thinking that this was the direction that we had to go in order to heal humanity. But what they came to, what they're coming to find out, obviously, that this is all, it was all part of a larger agenda to transform the remnants of what we have, the remnants of a free society, which is what we live in here in America, and basically turn it into a technocratic authoritarian state. And I don't think that most people on the left want that. I mean, you look at the Restrict Act as an example. Most people don't want the government monitoring what they look at online. Even people on the left, they still want to use a VPN. They still want to be able to go and explore information that's out there, as long as it's, you know, not illegal, not as long as it's not anything that obviously people shouldn't be looking at. And that's a whole separate subject. But, you know, we're talking about Americans loving their freedom. And it's not just Americans. It's people all over the world. There's a natural instinct to want to be free and not have Big Brother looking over your shoulder. And, you know, even people on the left now, I think, are looking back over the past 20 odd years. I mean, you got to remember when 9/11 happened, it was Bush that was in office and everyone on the left hated Bush. You remember that era? And yet, at the time, regardless, after 9/11 happened, pretty much everyone supported the Patriot Act because we were all duped into thinking that we had to accept limitations put on our freedom for the illusion of security and safety. And look what's happened. I mean, that's the amazing thing. I mean, the left and this ideology that's taken over, that's been supposedly intended to make the world a better place, to make people feel more included and not make people feel isolated and on and on and on. What's ended up happening as a result of that? Society has become more divided than ever. We've had more violence, more mass shootings, more total insanity than we've ever had. And do I think that there are people on the opposite side of the political spectrum that have integrity, that are starting to pick up on these things? Absolutely. And when something like the Restrict Act comes along, people don't want that. There's something, I think, that is encoded in our DNA. We've talked a lot about our DNA and this being a war for it or over it. And I think that that is exactly what we're talking about here, is that there's something in our DNA that just continues to resist this idea of having our freedoms taken away from us. And I think that there is a gradual recognition that's happened at a societal level. Because, I mean, even, you know, in your own lives, most people you talk to who consider themselves Democrats or even independents, but they don't like Trump and they don't like, you know, conservatives and they don't like Republicans and blah, 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 because they've been conditioned that way to think or to believe in all the lies that they tell about us, to think that we stand for something entirely different than what we stand for. But they don't want to live in an authoritarian state. And I think that for the cabal, you got to examine the whole paradigm that they're in right now. I mean, they don't have a choice other than to continue to push and push and push harder and harder and harder to get us under control. And the only way that they can do that is by increasing their tyranny, increasing their authoritarianism. And that's why the White Hats have always known this. It's not like they can go in the opposite direction and give us more freedom and expect that that's going to help them win the war. It doesn't work that way. It only works that way if you're the White Hats. But as far as the Black Hats go, the only way that they can win, and by the way, they can't win, but the only way that they could win is by controlling not just the narrative, but basically controlling all of our behavior. And that's where the whole CBDC comes in, how they do it through finance, how they use this economic debt prison matrix. They do it already pretty effectively to control society, but they want that level of control that would be completely unprecedented of central bank digital currency that, of course, would be tied together with your social credit score, and all aspects of our freedom would go away. And you know that they would also, they would link this to the whole Restrict Act. They would kind of marry the two together. And if you don't behave, if you don't toe the line, if you don't conform to the government narrative, and if you should ever dare to speak out against it, we're going to take away your ability to live your life, literally. We're going to take away your ability to purchase the goods that you need, to be able to support your family, to be able to get a job, to maintain a job. I mean, this is total tyranny. And this is another example. It's not just the Restrict Act that the left is against. They're also against, for the most part, central bank digital currency. You can see evidence of it absolutely everywhere, even in the mainstream. You go and you read articles, in Forbes and all of the different, mainstream financial publications. You see article after article after article attacking this whole concept. Nobody wants it. And again, do I believe this was always a part of the plan, that it was always intended to move in this direction? Absolutely. You see, that's the thing about tyranny. When it's tyranny light, let's just call it that. When the government is saying, hey, we got to pass all these laws to be able to keep you safe. I mean, that's how they operate. They run a false flag or a series of false flags. They get everybody afraid. They work everybody up into a frenzy. The media just continues to bang on the drum and harness all of that fear, harness all that negative energy to be able to manifest the direction that they want to go, to get everybody to agree that this is the direction we got to go. So that's tyranny light. When they still have control over all the information and they've paid everybody off and they've got their, they've got their bribery machine going, they've got their blackmail in place, they've got all of their illicit revenue streams to be able to prop up the system so that there are no chinks in the armor, no cracks in the fortress. That's kind of what we've been living through up until very recent history. And now all of a sudden, because we've seized the bullhorn away from them, because we essentially are the news now, because more and more of the public has decided to tune into what we have to say, because they're recognizing they're being lied to on the other end, now they don't really have the ability to hide anymore. They're having to uncloak themselves. They're having to reveal who they really are, because again, they don't have the ability to slow things down. If the White Hats are truly in control behind the scenes, and I think we've pretty well established that they are, then the enemy has only one direction that they can go. Now, if there were no White Hats and we were just, on our own out here, and, we were just basically screwed, as they say, if there were, was no plan, no military alliance. Well, first of all, I think we'd already all be dead, number one. But number two, let's just say we were still here. I think that if the enemy were truly in control and the military alliance didn't exist, there wasn't a threat, they could have the luxury of hitting the brakes and slowing things down and putting people back to sleep. Because that's how they've always been able to operate. Tyranny has to operate in the shadows. It has to be rolled out through deception incrementally so that people don't notice what's going on. Well, they can't really wrap their brains around the way society is changing and what they're losing in the process. And because they've always scientifically gamed this out, they've used their AI to be able to figure out, well, if we implement this, if we have this type of event, we engineer this situation, and then we introduce this narrative, what's the outcome going to be? That's exactly how they operate. And of course, they would have the ability, they have a lot of latitude to slow things down, to put people back to sleep. Okay, we're back in control now. We have power. And they would undoubtedly be successful in rolling out all of their evil against us, because there would only be a few of us on the fringes yelling and screaming and warning everyone and trying to, you know, move us in the opposite direction. But, you know, that wouldn't be effective. But that's, of course, not the scenario that we're in. The White Hats are in control, and they've been using that same AI. 107's talked about it. Kerry Cassidy is pretty much an expert in this area. I've talked about this with some of my other guests as well. They've been using this artificial intelligence to war game every move that they make on this 5D chessboard. So they know, the White Hats know, that if they introduce a certain narrative, same way the enemy does, if they allow, see, they're approaching it, I think, from a slightly different, well, not slightly different, but from a very different angle than the enemy. The enemy is always thinking about, well, if we do this, what's the outcome going to be? And how can we shift and steer the narrative in the direction we want? Whereas the White Hats are using the same type of technology. I believe they're using a much more advanced and better form of it, which is a major reason why we're winning this war. And I think there's a lot of conversation to be had about the non-terrestrial allies that have given us this technology or taught us how to use it, that enables the White Hats to kind of do the same thing that the enemy does, but from an entirely different posture in terms of allowing the enemy to make their moves and then wargaming how the public is going to respond to all with all of the different counter moves that the White Hats are going to make. Introducing Q, for example, and rolling out the Q operation and starting those drops. Don't think for a second that that was done without the augmentation of artificial intelligence. And like I said, Juan talked about this in a recent interview with Nino in pretty extensive detail. He revealed quite a bit about how the Q team is operating behind the scenes. So that's what they do. They say, okay, we know the enemy's playbook. We know that these are the moves that they're going to make. They already knew their entire plan. And there are only so many changes that they could make. And I think that was one of the first things that the White Hats addressed, is making sure that whatever moves that they made, that the White Hats made, that that wasn't going to change the options available to the enemy in any fundamental way, so that it would end up surprising them. In other words, they wanted to limit the options of the enemy. I mean, of course, that's the whole purpose of a chess match, is to limit the options of your opponent and to think several moves ahead. So they've used the same AI, but in terms of game theory, which you've heard me talk a lot about, which is allowing the enemy to make their move and then them making counter moves and introducing various different variables to shift the narrative in the direction of the information in society at large. And that's, I think, how they've engineered this entire plan. That's how they've gotten us to this point where the quote unquote normies aren't so normie anymore. And they're starting to think a little bit more like us. They're starting to at least entertain this idea that, you know, maybe we're not so crazy. Maybe the people who were warning us about the vaccines, maybe they weren't wrong, because even the mainstream media is having to come out now and make these admissions. They're having to completely do a 180. They're having to ask for forgiveness. They're pointing the finger in every direction and saying, it wasn't us, it was them. It wasn't us, it was them. It's like Pfizer is doing with the government. over this $3 trillion lawsuit. So all of this is happening, and this is being observed not just by us, but it's also being observed and processed by all of the normies out there, by all of the people who are in the process of awakening. You see, folks, I think that, and this is my perspective, and everyone has a different one, but I think it's very foolish to think that after all that we've been through over these past few years, I mean, we could sit here and we could point at statistics and we could talk about different barometers and gauges of public awakening all day long. But I think just on its face, everything that we've gone through over these past few years since the election was stolen has led us to a worse and worse and worse situation as a country. And certainly it's led the world to the precipice of destruction. That's going to continue, as we know. I mean, like I say, I wish that I could hit that fast forward button. We all do. And I wish that there was a real card to be played where we could just ignore all of these people out there who don't get it and just steamroll ahead and have all of them play catch up with us after justice has been administered, after we've taken our country back. I understand why people make that argument and why there's such a high degree and level of frustration out there over the pace that this is unfolding at. But for all the reasons that I've talked about, you know, and this is where the whole conversation links back up with Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy, a man that you may not agree with him on everything. Certainly, I don't agree with him on everything. But when you hear him talk, and you, especially when it comes to the vaccine issue, it's really hard to find fault in the things that he's saying. And I think that, and this is a theory of mine, and I could end up being wrong about this, but I don't think that I'm going to be proven wrong about this. I do believe that Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy, RFK, is fully read in, and that his announcement and his decision to enter the race came at exactly the right time when people on the left and all the independents out there, all the never Trumpers and all the people who thought that, and maybe even still continue to think that we're crazy, are finally, you know, that chink in the armor is finally big enough. That crack in the fortress where somebody like him could enter into the political space and shift the nature of the conversation, the narrative in a different direction, because that's what's necessary. See, all of us, you know, we have our leader. We know that Trump is our leader. We know that the white hats ultimately behind the scenes are our leaders. And certainly we've had many great patriots and Anons who have emerged as well over the past few years and become leaders in their own right. So, you know, we know who our leadership is, but the left, I mean, let's face it, folks, their leadership is already gone for the most part. These are all actors that are continuing to prop up the status quo. They don't have any leadership anymore. And whether, I mean, you can agree or disagree, folks, but, you know, if as far as I'm concerned, this is about where we go one, where we go all. And I know that Q said that the Democratic Party would be annihilated, and people in my audience have pointed that out. I'm not here to dispute that. I think that that's absolutely true. In fact, I think that political parties, as we know them, eventually are all going to be a thing of the past once humanity fully unites and recognizes the divide and conquer strategy. But until that point, the left and all of these normies out there, they need a leader who is going to shift the narrative back in the right direction and is going to get people to start thinking logically and rationally and start divorcing themselves from all of this wild emotionality and acting basically like petulant children. I mean, this is what's been rewarded. This is what's been promoted by the modern Democratic Party. I mean, the bigger the nutcase you are, the more of a basket case you are, the more they celebrate you and put you up on a pedestal. I mean, we've seen the progressive degradation of our entire culture as the result of what they've done. They've taken everything good and inverted it. And of course, that's one of the things that when I figured that out, the basic strategy of inversion, it's not even just a strategy, it's a religion. And it's also a limitation based upon their low vibrational state. They're spiritual beings. They don't have the ability to create and manifest like we do. The only thing they can do is invert everything that God creates and that we create as manifestations of God and twist it and pervert it. That's all they've got. And so the left needs a leader who is going to function as a narrative shifter and a force of unification as opposed to division. And that's what I see with RFK. And like I said, the man has taken very principled stance. He was willing to work with Trump. In fact, he even said, and he's repeated this many times, that Trump initially, when he got into office, he said that he was going to have RFK on a vaccine or head up a vaccine safety committee. And then once that became known, once that got out there in the news, very shortly thereafter, Pfizer was giving Trump money for his inauguration. And then you had Gottlieb and Alizar and, you know, the swamp basically come in as the result of Pfizer's buying influence, if you will. And they killed that vaccine safety committee. And then these Pfizer lobbyists, you know, went on to basically control policy. And he's pointed out that that is the swamp. And, you know, he's been critical of Trump for that. And of course, his entire posture of endorsing the vaccines. And, you know, look, I'm not here to have a debate about that in terms of why Trump did these things. I've talked about that ad nauseum. And I've offered all different types of analysis, excuse me, as to why that was necessary. But the fact of the matter is that I do believe that somebody like RFK, if he actually has the support of a vast majority of the left, let's just say, you know, of the Democratic Party, and gets them to shift in the direction that where he's at, and to accept, you know, his ideology and his philosophy about where we should be headed as a nation, to reintroduce integrity into that side of the political spectrum. Can you imagine the healing effect that that's going to have on our country? And that's the way I'm looking at things now, folks, is because it's all too easy for us to maintain our frustration and anger, and really, if we want to just be blunt about it, our hatred in many cases, even though we don't live in that space, but it's sometimes a natural feeling. We just get so angry that it rises to the level of hatred toward these people. And I can understand all of it, but at the same time, folks, we have to remember what it is that we're really fighting for and what do we really stand for. Do we want to be that force of division? Do we want to look at our fellows, the people that are, quite frankly, yeah, we can criticize them all day long. And we have. We've torn them apart. But at the end of the day, my feeling about it is that these people were victimized. And that we were given divine. We have all experienced divine intervention in our lives, whether we realize it or we don't. The fact that we were awakened, the fact that God chose us and saw fit to open up our eyes in a world of utter deception, it's a miracle, but it goes beyond that. It is a divine blessing. It is a gift. And God did not give us that gift. He did not give us that light so that we could hide it underneath the table. He gave us that light so that we could spread that light and not to use it as a force, as yet another reason to be divided. Our job is to unify humanity. And that requires all of us to rise to the level of love. Because love is ultimately what's going to heal this world. It's what's going to enable us to transcend this evil. If we continue to buy into this divisive mindset, even though we're right, if we adopt the mentality that we just want to leave everyone else behind, or that they've had their chance and they're never going to wake up, and on and on and on. I mean, you know the arguments, we hear them every day. If we can't transcend that, if we can't be the very best of ourselves, the way that God requires us to be. And that's the reason that he chose us, because he knew we had the capability. God sees our heart. He governs based upon the human heart. And he recognized in each of us the goodness that's inherent inside of all of us. He didn't open up our eyes just so that we could shut people off and judge people for being victims of the most unbelievably complex psychological war that this world has ever seen and likely ever will see. We have a responsibility. And when I see somebody like RFK, it doesn't mean that I'm just jumping on the bandwagon and saying, oh, you know, because people are going to hear what I'm saying in support of this whole concept of unification. And some people are going to think that I'm now promoting RFK. That's not what I'm saying. I am promoting unity. I am promoting humanity coming together for the first time at a level that human history has never even seen before. That's the reason that we've been given this gift. And that's really the ideology that drives my analysis. Because it's not about continuing this same old paradigm of divide and conquer, of division, living inside of a divided world. If we allow that, and we allow the enemy with all of their infiltration and all of their games and all of their tricks and all of their evil machinations, if we can't see what they're trying to do and transcend it, even though we don't know who all the players are, we don't know who's good necessarily and who's bad. There are a million different unanswered questions. I get that. But we need to stay focused on our overall objective and the role that we're playing as digital soldiers in this war. Yes, we're about getting the truth out there. Yes, we're about seeking justice for what's been done to all of humanity. But our ultimate objective is to bring this world together to the best of our ability, to meet hatred and evil with love. Not for the people that perpetrated it, obviously. That's where the justice part comes in. They're all going to be swinging from ropes or facing firing squads. And that's exactly what they deserve. They deserve worse than that, quite frankly. But all the people out there who have been victimized. And that's, I think, an accurate word. I think we have to start looking at these people. And I know there are going to be folks out there in the audience who are going to disagree. And they're going to say, sorry, I just have no sympathy for these people. And that's okay. I mean, if that's where you're at right now, I mean, I don't think it's okay, but if that's where you're at right now, I'm not going to argue with you. But when you really center yourself spiritually and you really take some time to, you know, allow yourself to look at the big picture here and the gifts that you've been given. All of us have been gifted in different ways. I mean, I happen to have a podcast, but there are many people out there who have, and I know this because I talk to them by virtue of, I met them by virtue of doing the podcast, and I see the incredible spiritual gifts and insights that are present inside of our community. That's why we were chosen. And it's not just simply about waging and winning this war against this enemy. Well, it is, but really it's, you can't do that unless you bring the people together, unless you unify our country and our world then this strategy isn't going to work. Because as long as there's division, and as long as there's hatred, and as long as there's misunderstanding, and as long as there's bitterness that the enemy can manipulate to continue to drive more and more division into our society, it's never, ever, this whole Q operation, all of it would be for naught. And that ties back into what I was talking about earlier with AI. They figured this out, folks. They wargamed all of these different strategies. Don't think for a second that the White Hats didn't consider the faster kick down the door, you know, guns blazing approach. You think that they didn't wargame that out? You think that they didn't use the AI at their disposal to see what would happen if they moved in that direction? And my understanding is that, you know, had Hillary Clinton won, had the White Hats not been able to reverse the theft that was happening in 2016 to the extent that Hillary Clinton got into office, they were going to have no choice but to have a hot coup. And the military was going to have to come in. The White Hats were going to have to come in. There would have been no other choice. But they didn't want to go down that road because they knew what would end up happening. Maybe eventually they'd be able to bring this world together and heal everybody. But it would have come at such a massive cost, folks. I mean, as bad as what we're living through is, we can never forget how much worse the alternatives would have been. And that the White Hats knew all of this. And that's why they've embraced this strategy to go slower, because none of it matters at the end of the day if humanity is still divided, if we can't unify against a common enemy. And yeah, there are a lot of good points to be made about if they just took out the mainstream media, if they just did this, or if they just did that, this whole thing could go quicker. I understand all of those things. And some of those arguments, I mean, I'm not even going to debate them, because I don't have all the answers either. But one thing I know for sure is that I have faith that the White Hats chose the path that God wanted them to choose. This is God's plan. At the end of the day, folks, I mean, we can talk about the White Hats and the Black Hats all day long, but this is God versus Satan. And everything that the White Hats are doing, in my view, and inside of my heart, is being driven by God Almighty. And that God wants his people to come together. He doesn't want us to get to a point of civil war, brother fighting brother. He wants all of us, his digital warriors, his light workers, to be that standard against evil, but to have an open heart. And to love in the face of hate, to transcend all of that darkness, to transcend all of that division, to heal and to bring people together. And that's what I see happening right now. This is an incredible, incredible moment in history. And a lot of people don't even recognize it. It sails over the head of even a lot of people inside of our community, quite frankly. Because people are just so angry and they're so frustrated and they're just so fed up that they don't want to have this type of a conversation. The only thing they want to know is when the EBS is going to be triggered and when the arrests are going to start happening. Look, I get it, folks, but we have to think bigger than that. We are engaged in a war, a spiritual war of good versus evil. We are living out, we are part of a divine plan. We are manifesting God's work. But we, and not even the White Hats, are really in control. God is in control. And that should bring you a lot of peace. Recognizing that we don't have all the answers. God doesn't make mistakes. And he's not willing that one of his dearest creation fall to the enemy. Unless, of course, as a manifestation of their own free will, that's what they choose. But God doesn't want all of these poor people out here who have been victimized. And, you know, I'm sorry, folks, but I know, despite all of the anger, despite all of the frustration, and even the bitterness and hatred that we feel at times, I know, because I've lived with these people, I've been around these people my entire life, I know that they're not evil. I know that they don't have hatred in their hearts. I know that they don't want what the cabal wants. And yes, they've been useful idiots for the cabal. I'm not going to deny that. They've been duped. They've been fooled by it, but they're not evil. They have goodness inside of them. And that is what God cares about. God cares about what's in the heart. And that is what we're fighting for, folks. We can never, ever forget that. So no matter how long this goes on, I mean, I've talked about certain red lines. I've talked about, you know, as far as the Restrict Act or any attempt to put boots on the ground and come after us individually, that's a game changer. I'm never going to change my perspective on that. If you come after me, if you come after my children, if you come after my weapons, if you come after my freedom, you make it impossible for me to live my life, and you've declared war against me, you've declared war against, and as far as I'm concerned, you've declared war against all Americans, against all of humanity. So there are certain red lines, and I'm not going to back away from that. But my faith in this plan is still rock solid. And I do believe that no matter how long this goes on, no matter how, as long as they don't cross those lines, and as long as we're able to continue to fight this war digitally, as opposed to kinetically, which I do believe will be the case, I am committed to doing the very best that I can to transcend all of that darkness, all of that hatred, and all of that evil, and to be that light, to be that bridge, to provide people safe harbor into reality, into truth. I'm going to do the very best that I can, as long as God breathes breath in my lungs and he gives me the strength and the ability. That's what I've committed myself to. And I urge everybody out there to do the same. All right, folks, I'm going to cut it here. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. Please let me know in the comments. If you did enjoy today's episode, please hit that like button. And also, please check out the links in the description. If you want to support my work, I have several options for you to be able to do that. You can click the link for patriotunderground.shop. I have great merch. I have baseball hats. I've got t-shirts, hoodies, wide variety of different designs and products that are all very high quality, very reasonably priced. Helps me out a great deal, folks. Patriotunderground.shop. Also, please consider becoming a patron. I've had a couple more patrons added over the past couple of weeks, and I just want to say thank you to everybody out there, those of you who just decided to become a patron and those of you who have been patrons now for quite some time. I want to salute you, and I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting what I do, for seeing my vision, and deciding that it was worth the support that you've offered to me. It's been life-changing for me. Anyone out there who's been able to support me, even those people who can't afford to support me financially, just say a prayer for my safety, for my family's safety, for all of us, for the Lord to deliver us from this evil. Leave a nice positive comment. If that's the only way that you can support me, folks, believe me when I tell you, I value that just as much as any financial contribution, no matter how big or small, because I recognize that all of us are in different places right now. Some people, it's like Trump says, you know, if you're doing well, send something. If you're not doing well, if you're doing poorly, don't send anything. Just keep me in your prayers and offer me the support that you can in the comments to fuel my passion so that I continue to want to wake up every single day and to work hard in service of humanity. And again, your reactions, your resonance is what makes all of this possible, folks. Without you, I wouldn't be doing this. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody out there for that. And finally, before I leave you today, I want to encourage folks to remember to check out PatriotSwitch.com, the best company out there for all of your personal and household products. You hear me talk about them all the time because they are absolutely amazing. The folks out there in the audience who have made the switch have been to say that they've been satisfied is a total understatement. I mean, you can even see it in the comments. Yes, there are always people, trolls and such, who are going to leave negative comments. But the reality is, folks, there have been a lot of people in the comments who have pointed this out. And by the way, if you're listening today and you made the switch and you're happy with the products and you're one of those people that I'm talking about, do me a favor and go ahead and leave that, some form of that in the comments, to let people know that what I'm talking about is actually legitimate. This company is amazing. They are, I mean, they have a 90%+ retention rate. And as I always say, folks, I'm very selective about the businesses, the companies that I choose to partner with. I've had many offers that I've very politely declined because I didn't feel a strong sense of positivity about the company itself, or I didn't think that the opportunity that they were presenting to me really made sense for my audience. I'm only going to present things to you that I believe my audience is genuinely going to benefit from. And Patriot Switch definitely falls into that category. I am 100% solid in my support and very, very happy that I made that decision to make the switch myself so that I could then pass all of this along to you. And I'm just absolutely thrilled that so many people out there have taken advantage. And I urge those of you who haven't to click the link in the description and make the switch today. All right, folks. I'm going to be back tomorrow with Kerry Cassidy. And a little bit later this week, I'm going to be welcoming Dr. Scott Young onto the platform. We're going to be talking a lot about Nasara and Jasara. He is a really, really knowledgeable guest. So should be an interesting week ahead. So I'll be back soon. Thank you for listening, everyone. And until then, God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.